I'd like us to consider together this afternoon some words that we read from Psalm 29. And I would particularly like us to focus on verses 3 through 9. And let us just read those verses again. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. You know, as we've read from the title of this psalm, that it was penned by David. It's suggested by some that it was written during a thunderstorm. Whether this is the case or not, the picture language used certainly seems to trace the path of a storm. And we can look at this in two ways. Firstly, that God speaks through natural phenomena. Such phenomena are entirely under his control. And he so reveals himself through these things that all men are without excuse if they will not acknowledge him. But secondly, these natural phenomena are illustrative of the way in which God speaks to men, in showing the nature and the effects of his word as it goes forth with power. This psalm essentially falls into three parts. The first part, in the first two verses, is a call to the adoration and worship of God, rendering unto him that which is his due with due reverence. The second part, verses 3 through to 10, gives us that picture that we've mentioned of the path of a storm as being illustrative of God communicating with men. And then within that section, in verses 3 through 9, we have seven declarations concerning the nature or the effects of God's word going forth. Each beginning with that same phrase, the voice of the Lord. And then the third part of this psalm, the last verse, verse 11, gives assurance to God's people that he will give them strength and peace. Of course, these three parts are not disconnected. Rather, there's a flow between them. The first part begins, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Thus, even those who are mighty in the earth are reminded that there is one mightier than they are. This is then emphasized in that second part by way of the example of the mighty voice of the Lord who commands the thunderstorm and whose voice can be likened to it. And the third part then assures God's people that this mighty power of God is not to be feared by them, for it is designed for their good, for their strength, for their peace. The natural thunderstorm will not harm them, even if it is the means by which they are taken from this earth. And the voice of the Lord is for their instruction, their guidance, their encouragement, for their peace. But I want to focus this afternoon on those seven declarations which we find in verses 3 to 9 concerning the voice of the Lord. Firstly, in verse 3, we have the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Secondly, in verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Thirdly, also in verse 4, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And fourthly, verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. Verse 9, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests. Firstly then, in verse 3, we read, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Many people are afraid of thunderstorms. Every flash of lightning causes them to fear lest they themselves be struck, or some nearby structure which may fall upon them if it gets struck. Every thunderclap strikes fear into their hearts. But of course, this is but the after effect of that which causes the real damage. Perhaps they nervously count the seconds between the flashes and the bangs to work out how far away the strikes are and if they're getting closer. Then, when the rain falls in torrents, they worry about the floods that may result from that. But here we are reminded that there is one that is above all these things, who commands all these things, who speaks through these things, and that these things are indicative of his dealings with his people and with mankind. The wonder is that so many fear the thunder and the lightning, but yet there's no fear of God in them. They don't hear, or they refuse to hear, his thunderings. They go through physical storms, and they go through the storms of life, and though they are moved perhaps sometimes even to despair, they will not listen to the voice of Almighty God who speaks through these things. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The waters pour forth at his command, but also to those who will hear his voice. He speaks to them when they're in the midst of the waters, and his voice is heard over and above the tumult, directing them to the rock that is higher than them, that rock which is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this third verse, I would suggest that the real emphasis is upon that essential part of the gospel of God's grace, which is the setting forth of God's law. That law which condemns all men, that defines a standard of righteousness which none can achieve because of our sinful nature. You read here, the God of glory thundereth. His voice goes forth like thunder. Thunder in the scriptures is often associated with God's communication of his law to mankind. We see it on Mount Sinai, Exodus 20, verse 18 and onwards, as Moses received the 10 commandments from the Lord, we read, And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And also in the second book of Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 14, the words of David, the Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered his voice. The voice of the Lord thunders against those who disobey his law, who stubbornly resist his will, who refuse to turn unto him. That voice of thunder also speaks with convicting power unto those whom God has determined to save by his grace, convicting them of their sin and their inability to meet the demands of God's holy law. Secondly, we read, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Verse 4. And the Lord speaks through the natural phenomenon of the thunder. It is powerful. The sound it carries for great distances. But more significant than this, it was by his voice that all things were created. He spoke, and it was so. Throughout Genesis chapter 1, we have those repeated words, and God said, let there be, and so on. This was all that it took to bring into being all things from nothing. Read in Psalm 148 and verse 5, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. And when God the Son took mortal flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he also spoke with a voice of great power. Such that as we read in Matthew 8, verse 27, men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? That powerful voice also goes forth in the gospel. When God speaks through his word, by the power of his Holy Spirit, unto men. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God speaks with that powerful voice. It wakes the dead. Those who are dead in trespasses and sin. Puts a new principle of life within them, causing them to be born again of the Spirit of God. Thirdly, again, in verse 4, we read, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. This speaks of glory, honor, splendor, beauty. This is something to be wondered at. It commands by its very nature honor and respect. Even when the natural thunder peals, why, it's something wonderful to behold. Be it the loud bang or the rumbling that rolls on for several seconds. When the Lord speaks to men through his word and by the power of his spirit, why, there's even greater majesty in that voice. It's more than raw power. It's full of majesty. The Lord's language is pure in its truth and in its beauty. It carries with it authority. It deserves by its very nature the bowing down of all creation, and especially mankind. This has enormous implications for those who preach or who teach God's word. We're handling the very oracles of God. And we must humbly bow before him, acknowledging the majesty of his utterances and seeking his help, such that we may truly say, thus saith the Lord. But this also has huge implications for those who hear God's voice. Be that through the reading of his word, or hearing it read, or hearing it proclaimed. The word of God deserves our reverence. If we truly hear the voice of the Lord, such is its majesty, that we will inevitably bow down in humility and wonder that the Almighty God should deign to communicate with us. For if we truly hear the voice of the Lord, we cannot do so with indifference, with a critical spirit, or in a selective way, choosing only that which pleases our ears and our sensibilities. But fourthly, we read, the Lord, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 5. The cedar of Lebanon is a stately coniferous tree of great stature. In biblical times, the wood was highly esteemed for its durability. It was used, for instance, for the building of David's house, and then for the temple built by Solomon, and also the second temple built when the exiles returned from Babylon. The cedar is used by Old Testament writers as a figure of stature in a man. But even these substantial, majestic trees are oftentimes broken. They're brought down or they're split apart when God gives voice in thunder, lightning, and tempest. In the following verse, we read verse 6, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. Here the effects of the voice of the Lord in the thunderstorm are extended beyond the trees to the very mountains on which they stand. This is what is signified by Lebanon and Syrian, Syrian being Mount Hermon. They are said to skip like a calf or like a young unicorn. In this case, the mountains are likened to young and skittish animals which jump with fright at the sound of the thunder. Here then, great stout trees and solid, seemingly immovable mountains are shown yet to move and be broken under the power of God's voice in nature. Likewise, the proudest, the most stout-hearted of sinners are broken, are brought down and laid low by the voice of the Lord when he speaks with power through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, when it's attended by the power of his Spirit. And the Lord speaks to the heart of a sinner that he's determined to save by his grace. He first breaks him. We've spoken already of how the Lord speaks with convicting power to those he's determined to save. But more than this, here we see how that he lays them low. He dashes their pride. He brings them to an end of themselves. Destroys every notion in them that by their own merit, by their own worth or works, they can attend to his standard, or by their own might stand against the Almighty and prevail. Oh, can you testify to this yourself? You heard the voice of the Lord in such a way that it has left you utterly broken, knowing that you are hopeless and helpless, utterly incapable of taking one step toward your own salvation. So fifthly, we read in verse 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Though in the physics of the matter, we know that thunder follows lightning because sound travels slower than light. To the observer during a storm, the thunder or the voice of the Lord comes between the lightning flashes, dividing in time the flames of fire, as it were, which they appear to be, and which oftentimes they create when they strike. Otherwise, the image may be of the dividing of lightning itself, which sometimes occurs as it takes multiple paths to earth. Again, the voice of the Lord in nature speaks of the voice of the Lord in his dealings with men, in the powerful application of his word to their hearts. This fire is surely a picture of the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. Several commentators make the association between this picture and the day of Pentecost, of which we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 and onwards. There we read, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. But again, the main application here seems to be the way in which God works in the hearts of men through the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit in applying it to them. C.H. Spurgeon, writing on these things, says, "Flames of fire attend the voice of God in the gospel, illuminating and melting the hearts of men. By these he consumes our lusts and kindles in us a holy flame of ever-inspiring love and holiness." Again, when the word of God and the Holy Spirit come together in the preaching of the gospel, it goes forth, as it were, with a fire. That fire has both light and heat in it. By the light of it, men are enlightened as the Holy Spirit illuminates the word of God, causes them to see their sad estate, but also the way of salvation which the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Lord has provided. Then by the heat of this fire, hearts are melted and turned to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And hearts caused to burn with love toward God and the desire to glorify him. Verse 16, this in verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The Lord's voice in the natural world, the thunder is not reserved only for man's appreciation. He thunders forth in the desert places also, where man is not even there to witness it. The thunder shakes the wilderness. The wilderness of Kadesh was very significant to Israel, and that they passed through it twice during their 40 years in the wilderness. It was from here that the spies went into Canaan to spy out the land, and return with their report that they would not be able to take the land due to the giants that dwelt there. It's when they returned here to Kadesh that Miriam died. And even in this desolate wilderness place, the Lord's voice was heard, but not heeded by faithless Israel. so it is in the spiritual wildernesses of this world. The voice of the Lord still goes forth, and not without effect. Even apparently barren soil can bring forth a harvest of souls. When the Lord speaks and his spirit moves in the hearts of those who hear. And then seventhly, in the ninth verse, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The hind, which apparently normally has difficulty in giving birth, when frightened by thunder, often gives birth more easily and quickly. And the trees of the forest are often stripped of their branches by a storm. The voice of the Lord has such profound effects upon wild beasts and plants, but so often it is the case that men are unmoved by such things. John Calvin writes on this, he says, it is base ingratitude indeed in men not to perceive his providence and government in the whole course of nature, but it is a detestable insensibility that at least is unusual and extraordinary works, which compel even wild beasts to obey him, will not teach them wisdom. Though God's voice in nature, which brings forth new birth in the animal kingdom, often makes no impression upon man, yet when his voice goes forth in the gospel of his grace, in the power of his spirit, it brings forth new birth in those that he has determined to save by his grace. Though men in general stop their ears to the voice of the Lord, those who truly hear it will return unto him praise for all his glorious works in nature and in grace. For we read, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. This really speaks of his church. Those that he has saved by his grace, those who have truly heard the voice of the Lord in such a way that it has broken them, it has brought them to conviction concerning their sins, it has caused them to cast themselves upon him, it has brought them to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, such that they no longer fear the storms of nature nor the storms of life, for they have a safe haven in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can take hold of the promise in the last verse of this psalm. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Thus his people, his church, return unto him praise and speak of his glory. For have you heard the voice of the Lord? Have you heard that voice which wakes the dead? Have you heard that voice in such a way that it has broken you and caused you to cast yourself upon the Lord? Have you heard that voice in such a way that it has moved you to repentance and to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen.